Hello everyone, I'm John Coleman from Apakistostasis, an institute for the humanities and alternative college and high school here on New Milford, Connecticut, USA. Today we're being joined once again by Clint Richardson, and we're going to see what Clint's been up to, his research. We're going to look at bloodlines, the legal system, and all sorts of things. It's a fascinating conversation that we have ahead of us. One announcement concerning the college as we approach the fall semester, and that is to check out our Off Your Hands donation center. If you have any heavy machinery that you'd like to donate, and that would also include guns, not firearms. Clint can tell us the difference between them. Tractors, mowers, and so forth. We are certainly very grateful for any donations whatsoever. We're trying to straighten out the capital situation, and this program ought to be quite helpful. And with that being said, Clint, welcome, and how have you been?
Oh, it's been an interesting ride since I think we last talked. I actually ended up getting COVID twice, and it really did a number on me. I don't know if you're familiar with the term executive function.
Sure, yes.
It really destroyed, I've read several studies on how it affects that, and it really just destroyed my ability to do what I usually do. I still have everything in here, but my body just doesn't seem to want to respond to my will or my brain. Mm-hmm. And it's a very strange thing for me, because it means I'm not able to sit down. I used to do this for, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. I would do this research, and I would write, make movies, whatever I'm doing. Now it's hard for me to do an hour. So it really, really affected me bad. Fortunately, it didn't affect my ability to, I didn't forget the long-term stuff. I can forget short-term stuff. So it almost killed me the first time. And then the second time it was less extreme, but it hit something to my brain that I don't know how to explain. So it feels like, if you wanted to destroy someone like me with a biological weapon, that would be the way to do it, So, but fortunately, like I said, I can still recall everything and explain it just like I used to. So that's at least good. Problem is, I discovered, I guess you could say I connected all the dots before that happened, and became sort of a pariah, if you will, of the so-called truth movement, where turns out there's not much truth going on there. It's kind of a, what you might call a political religion based on patriotic fervor for things that you shouldn't be patriotic for. And for that, unfortunately, a lot of people in that movement are selling things, and people who write books that have incorrect information are not willing to correct themselves because they want to sell their book or their video or this or that. And, I'm one to always retract if I'm wrong and correct, because I don't want to be responsible for bad information. So it's been a very interesting look into the mentality and the intention behind this so-called truth or patriot or whatever movement. It's very corrupt. In fact, I'm starting to believe it's more of a psyop than it is anything. And I'm almost disappointed in myself for believing half the stuff I used to believe. But that's why I'm here, to correct all the things I used to believe and talk about. Now, again, I'm sort of retracting and saying, well, I actually found the source. I actually tried to verify what I believed and found I couldn't, and verify the opposite. So that's basically where I am. So I would not blame you at all if you edited out some of the things we're going to talk about, because boy, are they're unpopular. It's like discovering your religion is false. It really is.
So. Great. Well, thank you for that intro, Clint. And sorry to hear about your health problems. And I've gotten COVID a couple of times, I suspect. I can't swear to that. I haven't had the Q-tip up the nose, but it is a real thing. I have had, some weird colds, and I know it enough. There's something else bumping around, and I know enough other people that have had it that it's – some people say, oh, it's all just the flu and all this stuff. But, no, it is a separate thing.
I'm a heavy researcher, and it's – trust me, those people that deny the virus or whatever, it's – yeah. As one who've experienced it – I mean, I was in a living, breathing – waking hallucination for about 5 days, and it was horrific. So trust me, it's, and you know, I didn't do that test, but I did some, you know, there's other tests besides sticking that thing all the way up your nose. But positive.
And of course, there was the muddying of the water at the time, with probably actually scraping in every cold and flu and things that gives rise to the exaggeration of there not being,
of course. I mean, honestly, that's why I made my documentary in the first place was, I mean, it's a 9-hour documentary on everything involved in it. It shows Fauci, of course, being culpable. It shows how they, you know, all the agreements on how they were going to build the virus. I mean, it's, the evidence is all there. There's study after study. There's, I mean, they show you. And then to hear the scientists actually talk about, you know, gain of function and what is gain of function and what is dual use and why are they building viruses? Is it safe to build a virus that would kill 100% of the people? That kind of thing. You know, that's what they're debating behind closed doors. They're like, of course it is. It's safe. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, if you define, you're talking about bloodlines that we're going to move towards and unpopular things, and you've no fear of editing. I haven't had a day in my life where I've edited a word myself coming out of my throat. So you're all set for whatever you want to say there. But yeah, I mean, these people, they define themselves as the only human beings on the earth. I mean, you know the words better. I learned all this stuff, you know, from you and some of these other guys. They define themselves as the only humans, and we're all just goyim, we're cattle, and I'm not just talking about a certain tribe in the Middle East, but the whole lot. I mean, these are weirdos, and they do have these discussions.
The problem is, it's well, it's all in the legal realm. You know, none of this is actually real, but there is something to be said. I sent you a couple charts to pull up and screen share, but there is something to be said when you actually see. Now, there's a great logical fallacy out there that says, well, Clint's full of crap because I'm related to George Washington. I found it in my genealogy. I'm related. I'm a cousin, a 16th cousin of, therefore, you know, well, am I in the blood? No, this is completely different than that. What we're talking about is a direct lineage. In other words, Constantine is my great, 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 great grandfather. In other words, there's no cousin here. This is, I'm a son of the father. You know, it's not that, you know, it's not like a looking up your genealogy and saying, oh, that's cool. I could. No, they are the inheritors of the bloodline, of the family, the corporation that is this worldwide thing. And when you look at this chart, it really, it hits it home. And you'll see the first chart is the kings and royalty of all of Europe and everything going back a long time. The second chart is just the celebrities. You know, you don't become a celebrity. And I learned this in Hollywood. I didn't know what I'd learned, but I mean, people come to Hollywood to be actors, and they're, I'm like, well, you know, if you're not related to everybody there, you're gonna be a bartender who calls himself an actor. You're never
if you're lucky, you end up as a bartender. If you're not lucky, especially if you're a woman, you end up in a much rougher
right. Well, I mean, a lot of them sell their bodies, let's just put it that way, to get ahead as well, but they never get far, you know.
Now, before we get into it, Clinton, I have the screen share queued up here, and I'll have chart momentarily. Can you give us the overall thesis of where you're going and some of these angles, especially for people who are new to your work with the whole idea of corporate governance and so forth? So where are we going with this whole aspect of the bloodlines?
Well, we start, I mean, we can, it's really proper to start in Rome, because that's really, when we talk about the strict law or the lex scripta in the Latin, that's really our law. I mean, our maxims of law even say when all of our laws currently fail or don't cover something, we always return to the law of Rome. That has been the foundation of law for a very long time. Rome, but you got to consider that Rome is more of a moving concept. It's not a place as much as it is, again, it's more like an empire or a family, a dynasty. And so we're going to go to 1666, if I'm not mistaken, which was when the Treaty of Westphalia was created. We're going to then talk about what that created, which was the nation state model. So we're going to get into basic political science, which is something people are taught not to look at. And then we're going to go into what a nation state is and what the Constitution actually is compared to what we believe it is. And from there, all the dots start connecting.
Now, by way of names, I don't see dates here, Clint.
So go to the top.
Yes, sir.
What are we looking at? We're looking at famous ancestors of John Kerry and George Bush. And you got to keep in mind that any time, even back in Lincoln, when Lincoln ran against Samuel, what's his name? I can't remember his last name. Douglas, I think.
Yeah.
They were cousins, right? They were just like this. So when we look, the question is, why did George Bush beat out John Kerry?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not so much a competition as the two highest bloodlines for each party are competing each other, but the highest one's going to win. Trump and Hillary Clinton are very much in this category. They're related. They have the same great-great-grandmother or grandfather, right? That's on my blog. But when we're talking about when George Bush ran against John Kerry, like I said, King Constantine, the first one there, right? There's whole orders of Constantine where you have to show your lineage to even be a member. They'll deny you otherwise. You can't just go and say I'm a 15th great, you know, a 15th cousin. Now, these two are cousins. They're like 8th or 9th cousins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything. That just means that they're in separate shoots of this ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what you'd see is that George Bush is the fourth cousin of Lincoln and the fifth cousin of Washington and the first cousin of Obama. And right. But this is completely different. What we're looking at here, why these guys are up for president is because they are it's just like the Queen of England or the King of England being the highest of the bloodline. Right.
Mm-hmm.
These are our kings from the kings of the royalty of England. When it says 33rd and 31st great great grandfather,
yes, sir.
Well, you got to realize that is direct lineage, not a cousin, not an illegitimate family over here like us that happens to be just cousins are related in a very distant way. There's no distant here, right? They are sons. They are the inheritors of the empire, okay? And they are chosen by this chart, each one. So when, Trump and Biden, obviously Biden was elected. But we don't elect. We vote. A vote is a prayer. The Electoral College, even in the Constitution, it says the electors, it's not even a college, but the electors are the ones that vote for president, and those electors are chosen basically by the Senate. So each state, I mean, the Secretary of the State or whoever she was, of I think North Carolina, I've got her in my documentary on this, where she comes out, she says, look, when you vote, you're not voting for president. You're voting to legitimize the electors and the Electoral College who decide and actually elect. So if you look up the word voter, voting means to pray to your electors or to your supreme leader, whatever. When you're an elector, you are the elect. You're one of these people. You're not just a random person. You know, you're specifically put in that space to elect the next president. We do not do that. And
for the audience, I'm going to put in the description in addition to Clint's website and the school's website, my series of articles from the fall of 2020 called We the People, which deals exactly with this topic, that the vote and the election are two separate things. One takes place ritualistically in November, the other in December, and there's a following one in January called The Confirmation. Go on, Clint, please.
Right. And I made a documentary of it where I show all of that, actually, the process, the speech they make, and all of it. It's I explained the whole thing, but this is everything. If you go down this list, you're going to see every royal ruler in not only just Europe, but, you know, Asia and everything else. I mean, let's just take World War I, for example, right? This was not a war in any sense of the word. It was a family. It was a for-profit adventure for this family, right? You don't go to war with your own kin because you're just in hatred or your enemies. No, this is all part of building what we call the New World Order. All that really means when you say world, Novus Seclorum, Ovis, or whatever it is, or secularis means secular. So when you're talking about a secular government, which is what these people are all about, that means no more God. That means no more inherent rights. That means no more everything that we worship as our political religion that doesn't even exist. Right? Now, the problem here is that we don't know about this. Right, we only see reports in the news of, oh, Obama is cousins with Bush, and Bush is cousins with Kerry, and it's always the same. But they never show this because this is their direct descendancy, and this, you can't look at this and think, oh, well, that's just coincidence. No, this is a direct. If you don't understand the difference here between cousins that are distant, right? Just like you have a first cousin.
We're all cousins in a sense.
Well, sure, sure.
Anyone's a cousin to anyone else.
But yeah. I could never claim. I might be able to show that I'm related to a president, but I could never show this. I could never show that I'm an inheritor of the power and the royal blood. The question then becomes, what is blood? Because this is all fiction. What is white blood? Okay, all the laws refer to white blood, and then they define what white means, and it specifically says in the legal dictionaries that it has had nothing to do with skin color. Okay, Obama was a white blooded person. Okay, that means that he's one generation away from this. He's first cousins and direct descendants of these people, which is why he was president. He's of the landholding family in Connecticut, and I can't remember their name, but I have it on there. He actually
the Hookers? The Hooker family? The Hooker family.
No, I have it somewhere. He went and visited his family estate, and that was news, but nobody realizes what that actually means, right? These giant landholders. So it's...
Now, Clint, if I can ask you, what's the bloodline status of Big Mike now?
Big Mike?
Michelle. I'm just having some fun here. I'm just having... Go on now.
You know, I actually haven't looked at that, but I'm sure... I don't see her actually running for president, if that's what you mean. But, yeah, I get it. The Adam's apple.
that's the least of it.
It's like I said, so white is specifically defined as pure blood. When you talk about the word German, for instance, and why they want to destroy Germany, is because German actually means germane. It means pure blooded. This is how countries used to define themselves. What a nation is a common ancestry or a common belief, a common language, right? But a nation... The problem with a nation or a people, as we believe it, is that a nation is purely a spiritual thing. It is a mutual belief and a mutual adherence to something, right? a mutual agreement to follow the law, a mutual agreement that the Bible is the foundation of that law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have that. And to ensure that that is done away with, they've been integrating every possible culture, every possible race, every possible belief system, every possible religion and political system into every country, which we all know is happening. This has nothing to do with prejudice or race or anything else. It has everything to do with destroying the foundation that makes a spiritual connection with people. I mean, if you have a different religion, you have a different law, because that's what religion actually is. It's law. Bible's a book of law. We call it the natural law or God's law. It is supposed to be adhered to over the legal law, but we've given up all those rights. So the problem and how this all started is that when Rome would conquer a land and a people, they would make them citizens. And that tradition has not changed in 2,000 years. Okay, we are citizens of what? Citizenship wasn't defined before we had the, I mean, technically the courts would handle it, but before the 14th Amendment, citizenship really wasn't a defined thing. In fact, the first, five presidents did not qualify to be president because they weren't born in the United States. It didn't exist yet. They weren't born in America, right? They were born in England. So how could they be president if it's a requirement to be born in? Yeah, the whole thing's just nuts. But again, it goes back to royalty. So the question becomes, what is the United States? Not America. America doesn't exist. I want you to understand, there is no such thing as America. America is a colloquialism. It's a thing we use to describe a nation. Okay, but a nation is a spiritual connection. That has been destroyed, especially through social media. We hate each other, right? We talk crap about each other face to face. We leave nasty comments. We do nothing but put each other down and tell each other how much we hate them. That is not a nation anymore. That is a slave mentality, and that's exactly where they wanted to put us, is in this place where we do not support one another. We're no longer a nation. We're no longer a spiritual collection of like-minded people, right? So the question then is, what is a nation state? What is the United States? This thing that seems to control and own everything, but that exists only in Washington, D.C. Right? How is that possible? Well, Washington, D.C. isn't one of the states, right? A state means a people. But international law says that a state is a sovereign entity. Specifically, since the Treaty of Westphalia is when the nation state model first took hold. Okay. That was when.
And that really is the transition between the old medieval order where you had, states, and you mentioned that the predominance of religious law. That's really where you see the handing off after the wars of religion between, you know, clerics, formal clerics in the church, and now the attorneys are going to be the ones running the show.
Well, I'd say it's still them. It's just that they've gone undercover, right? Okay. Except for the royal. We all know that the queen has a level of control of everything. She can, as with all countries, all places with constitutions, and everyone has a constitution, ours isn't special, right? Mm-hmm. The constitutions all have the ability to be suspended. And every constitution in the world is essentially suspended. Now that's a whole other presentation, but it's called the Declaration of Emergency or War. Article 41, I believe, in the German constitution allowed Hitler to suspend it and declare martial law. Ours is called war powers or emergency powers, and emergency is equal to war. Emergency, it's the law of necessity, and necessity knows no law, right? So A pandemic comes, they suspend the Constitution. A war happens or an invasion, where they suspend the Constitution. If you read the Congressional Report, came out in 1977, I believe, it tells you the Constitution is suspended and has been since 1933. Technically, it's before that because the first emergency declaration was the Civil War by Lincoln, where he suspended everything. And
if you go online for the audience, go on to the congress.gov. They have all the congressional records scanned. You go to March 28th, 1860, when the Confederate, what would become the Confederate Congress, walked out of Congress. You can see that where the Congress goes on pause, sine diem, to Clint's point. March 28th, 1860.
You also have, we have a belief system that is false. So one of those beliefs is that Lincoln was a hero. Lincoln actually said things like the black and the white race can never be equal and never live together, right? But they don't cover those things in his speeches. He did not want to end slavery in the least. In fact, he said, it's not my place to do so. I'm going to leave it to the states. And so the original 13th Amendment happened before the war, the Civil War, and it basically did just what it did with abortion. They put it on the states. They said each state can decide what? So, in other words, it said the United States, in its supreme law of the land, will not anymore dictate whether states can have slaves. The white people can have slaves, right? Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that when we're talking about white persons, most people that came over to America, including my family, including probably your family, everybody was an indentured servant. That is akin to slavery. It's just a different type of servitude, okay? You also got to understand that that's exactly what the birth certificate is. It is an indenture. Another word for certificate is an indenture. Okay, so your parents and you and anybody who's done a birth certificate for their child is literally delivering or abandoning their child to the state, just like they used to send their children to boarding schools or whatever, or they would send them to a blacksmith or some trade to learn for their life. Well, that hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is that it's now called a national citizenship, a nation state citizenship in all countries. It is an indenture or a apprenticeship. This is why do you think the government requires you to go to public school? Because he who holds an apprentice is required to teach him. So the question becomes, well, how do you graduate from this indenture? How do you graduate from your apprenticeship? Well, they don't tell you that. How do I become a self-governing man? Yeah, that's not what they teach. They teach you to remain a citizen, remain an apprentice. So, like I said, that was absolutely common. People did not raise their own children. It was unheard of, even for the wealthy elite, to not send your children away. I don't know what to say about that. I'm not for it or against it, but that's how history used to be. I mean, I'm sorry, but raising your children, spoiling them, and not, you know, what we do now is actually pretty bad because children are growing up completely ignorant, or at least as ignorant as us. They're going to a public school sponsored by government where they're literally pledging allegiance, an act that is as old as Rome. They're pledging allegiance to the flag, being a war flag, an international flag of commerce that is the United States. They're not being taught anything about statesmanship, about people, but they're still told that we are the people. We're not the people. There are no people anymore, and there's no people in government. This is part of the mythology. Now, before the Constitution, yeah, that was actually a thing. Right? But after the Constitution, that's the creation of the nation state. And what happened across the world is that every people, every nation, every country was tricked. If you look at a list, and it's really easy to find this list, Wikipedia or whatever, if you look at a list of all the countries in the world, you basically have three different kinds. There's a few monarchies. Right? We know of those. There's a few dictatorships still. We know of those. And then everything else is what? What is China? What is Russia? What do they call it?
Republics.
Oh, right. See, we have this political religion of the Constitution and the Republic, and we think, my God, we're so lucky to have a Republic and a Constitution. Okay, every country in the world has a Republic and a Constitution. And the reason they did that, right, we have that, what's his name, says, a Republic if you can keep it.
Franklin.
And I quite honestly don't think that was a good thing. I think he was actually, I think he was saying you're screwed, basically, you know, because it disappeared as soon as that Constitution was created. As soon as the Civil War happened and the military the military rule and the Libra Code, which has been internationally codified, as soon as that took over, okay, we are, I mean, look, I'm sorry to tell you, that we are prisoners of war. It's called citizenship, just as Rome, just as every other country in the world. So every country was put into a republic. They were tricked into becoming a republic, a commonwealth, right? But then immediately after, every country in the world became a constitutional republic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you look, every country in the world is a republic. Republic of China, Republic of Russia, Republic, all these, Korean Republic. It's amazing to see, but then you realize they're also members of the United Nations, which means nation states. Okay, Treaty of Westphalia. Every country in the world has been conquered because a requirement to be a member of the United Nations is that you have purchased or conquered, which are the same words, okay? Mm-hmm. Think Louisiana Purchase. What is the Louisiana Purchase? Well, the United States claimed the territory, right? Whether it was by war or by monetary exchange contract, it is the same thing as conquering. When a nation state acquires any territory, it's either by force or by an exchange, right? So the requirement to be a nation state is that you, one, hold all the territory within your borders, right? Number mm-hmm. two, that you have conquered all the people. That is a requirement to be in the freaking United Nations. Mm-hmm. We are literally prisoners. And we don't, you know, they say you're free, right? They use words like freedom. Well, guess what? What does that mean? It's a legal term, not a real term. They define what the term means, and when they define free or freedom, free means a franchise. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a McDonald's, right? It's a franchise of the mother corporation. It's under its law. Well, freedom is the same thing. It's a franchise with a domicile or a dominion, mm-hmm. right? So we are a franchise under a dominion. And that domicile is United States, the nation state. If you're in China, your domicile is China, which is a nation state. Okay. Now, the republic part is spiritual. It's not real. It's mm-hmm. not, that would be the real spiritual. That would be the nation. But instead, the whole world was conquered by nation states. That is the model since 1966. As you said, the transfer from absolute royal dictatorship to this new political religion, if you will. Now, keep in mind, what's really funny about this is that this is basic political science. But how many people do you know studied political science? I mean, you look around, you see all kinds of jokes about, hey, what'd you do in college? Oh, I studied political science. Oh, where do you work? McDonald's? Or they'll show a picture of some guy scrubbing sewers and say that he studied political science, right? We're mm-hmm. not supposed to look at political science. It's propaganda. We're not supposed to look, but if you actually go into political science, the science of politics, mm-hmm. world politics, international law, see, the problem is we don't realize we're under international law. Every time you click an end user agreement, mm-hmm. that's putting you in international law. And international law says you are no longer in the United States as far as the litigation, the jurisdiction of the court. You cannot sue. Disney was just in the news, for instance, right? And some guy went to Disneyland, had an allergic reaction, and died at Disneyland. And so they're going to sue Disneyland. But Disney comes out and says, well, you can't sue us. You signed an end user agreement when you signed up for Disney Plus on television.
What's interesting, too, is that even this whole idea of Disneyland, the DeSantis administration in Tallahassee, they kind of sued Disney, and it became public that the Disneyland park was like this incorporated. It was basically a town. It had its own like town board.
It has its own jail. I mean, for God's sake. So Disney in what turned out to be a potential PR nightmare, because this guy, this family, specifically him, he clicked a button on an end user agreement, and in that agreement that nobody reads, right? You're entering into a contract to use a service, and you're agreeing to what's in that end user agreement. Well, it says you cannot use your courts, you cannot sue Disney Corporation. You must go to arbitration, and we choose who the arbiter and the arbitration company is going to be. And of course, it's fair and balanced. It's not biased towards Disney, but they've already pre-decided who is going to arbitrate your case. Okay? You have agreed to that. And so Disney's like, well, sorry, you've entered into an international contract with us. We choose Bulgaria to where the jurisdiction is going to be, or we choose some corporation that is an arbitration company, right? Well, guess what? How many end user agreements have we all signed? I mean, we're using this computer right now. We must have agreed to an end user agreement. We're using a program.
Right.
We're everything we use, right? We're users. We're not owners. Everything we use. And in the future, this is going to be how everything works. We're no longer going to have a country, so to speak. We're not going to have a judicial. We're going to do everything in arbitration, because every single thing you use now is coming. They're like, oh, well, I'm going to get in on this. We're going to use an end user agreement, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to take us – that's going to basically make us lawsuit proof, basically. We can't be sued because you've agreed. Now, I want you to understand this. Because it's a Disney property owned by the Disney Corporation, and you agreed over here that all Disney corporations are lawsuit proof, right? You can't sue Disney. Well, this guy was killed at Disney, and the family then could not. So Disney came out and was like, hey, you can't do this. But it got out. A story was made of it, and it became a PR nightmare. So they said, okay, well, we'll settle. Right? Because they don't want people to know this yet. They don't want people to understand what they're getting into by every time. You sign enough of it. You click enough okays or I agree. You're not going to be able to sue anybody. All these things you're agreeing to, who knows what it says in that contract? It might say that you can't sue any company. You can't sue. I mean, if all companies essentially conglomerate, you're not going to be able to use the court system. You're not going to be able to get remedy. You already have no right to tort because you're a citizen, not a free man. You're basically giving up all rights that you actually have, all civil rights, in order to use products. And that's the way of the future. That is commerce. That is international commerce. And guess what? The kicker is, what does it say? It says the Constitution. It says the United States is responsible and the overseer of all international commerce. So the United States, this thing in Washington, D.C., that claims all the territories, all the states, and all the people as their subjects, it supports international law. It is an international law commercial agency of the United Nations. It's in treaties with it. We don't have a country anymore. The kind that we believe. We have a political religion that says we the people, we have a constitution. The constitution is what enslaved us. And that's worldwide. Right? Constitutions, first of all, are all Masonic documents. There's a book of constitutions. It's a Masonic book. It's not a free people thing. It's the opposite. And all you have to do is read the darn thing to understand this, but nobody reads it because you don't read anything. You agree to everything without reading. You are under a law that is bigger than my house if you put it in books, right? That mm-hmm. you've never read. That is the sign of a fool. Mm. You don't know the law that you've agreed to be under by being a voluntary citizen, right? So, look, this is a bubble bursting conversation, right? Here's the other part. Let's get rid of the entire fallacy, because a state is a sovereign entity. Okay, so we have what? We have 50 states.
Mm.
It used to be considered that a state was a people, a nation, and it was, well, okay, states now are all flying the U.S. flag. They're all conquered.
Mm-hmm.
All states are territory of the United States. This is agreed to. The constitutions were rewritten after the Civil War that all public lands were ceded to the United States. That means 83% of where I live in Utah is federal land. California, it's like 34%. Nevada is like 90%. It's crazy.
Basically, anything after the Mississippi, west of the Mississippi, is right. More times than not in U.S. hands, capital, yeah. federal I hands.
Mean, but even that's kind of a separate thing. That means the United States manages the land, Bureau of Land Management, that kind of thing, right? Forestry. Mm-hmm. But that is separate from the fact that the United States controls the entire territory as a nation state. International law says that a nation state is sovereign, but states are not recognized by the international law, by the United Nations. That means that California, New York, where you live, where I live, we don't have, there are no states. There is only nation states, okay? These states are internally given what are called sovereignties.
Mm.
You have the right to decide on abortion. You have the right to do this. You have the right to do that. But we are the law. The Constitution of the United States is the law of the land. So no matter what you do, we can override you. We can send the military in at any time. We can even use your people as the military, you know, to fight against yourself, just like the Civil War, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. And then you got to also know that what's the nation state in here in England? Because England.
The City of London?
No.
The no, Crown?
It's called the, is it United Kingdom that I'm thinking of? Or
okay. All right.
Yeah. Not the European Union, but it's the, I think it's United Kingdom. So there is no England. There is no Scotland. Yes. There is no Scotland. These are not recognized. These are not internal entities. So you might as well call them the states and the countries over there provinces, just like in Canada, because we're no longer sovereign entities. We're no longer a sovereign people. We're not a people at all. We're persons. We're citizens, right? Well, the persons aren't people.
Clint, can you define for us in your train of thought here the differentiation between me? I thought I'm a person. Aren't you a person? Am I a person? Are you saying the way that the word people or person is used legally is somehow different than myself here? Is there something going on?
You would say that that clothing that you have is on your person. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you are not a person. Now, we use it in the common language, the common vernacular. But you got to understand the legal words are a completely different, what they call terms of art. Arts and sciences, they're fictions, right? So medical doctors, botanists, lawyers, they all have their own language and they define those terms, right? Just like I said, freedom to us means, hey, we're free, we're free. Well, in legal, it means franchise. It means you're actually enslaved. You're actually a subject of something. Completely different meanings. Usually the legal version of a word is inverse to it's the opposite. It's not necessarily opposite, but it sort of tramples on the real word. So when I say a person is a corporation, an association, a trust is a person. There's all kinds of different persons in law, right? And as what's his name said, hey, who was it? The Mormon guy. He said, corporations are people too.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Corporations are people too. Yeah. Yeah. It's a true statement in the fact that there are no more people spiritually, but legally, yeah, you could say that, because you know you used a term earlier that was funny. You said goyim.
Mm.
Well, what is a goyim defined as legally? Someone who is a citizen of a nation state. That's a goyim, right? The Jews are supposed to not the Jews in Israel. They all recognize that they're not supposed to be in a nation state or a legal entity.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, is a religious thing. They're not supposed to be in that situation. Israel has nothing to do with the so-called religion that is Judaism. It's absolutely not that. So when you look at their culture, they recognize that, you know, until their savior returns, they're not supposed to be they're a wandering people, right? They're not supposed to be goyim, but they are. They're all citizens of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I find hilarious because most of them don't know that, right? They're not. They don't know. I've spoken to Sephardic Jews especially who have no idea what it means to be a Jew. Because it's right. It's funny. So
I should say before you continue your thought there. Speaking of odd uses, the word person. I was talking to one of my colleagues here at the Institute lately, and he mentioned that there was a movement to get the Lake Superior or Lake Pontchartrain or one of these big old lakes up in the center of the country to be declared a person. For environmentalist reasons, and it had been shot down by the local so-called authorities there. But the idea of a lake being
that would be the most foolish thing you could do, because persons are properties. Okay, we're talking about a word. Okay, words are always property. So when I say person, place, or thing, all right, a person is a status, a place is a jurisdiction, and a thing is a property. They're nouns, they're names. That's what name means. It's a noun, right? So these are all legal terms. If you make something into a person, including yourself, you're now property of government, right? Keep in mind, you're not the person. The person is a separate entity created by the birth certificate, right? But the idea of the birth certificate is to remove you from the state you're born in, right? The people, and make you a U.S. citizen. It says that on one of the websites of the birth certificate. It specifically gives you domicile in the United States and makes you a mere resident. So domicile and residence, not the same thing. Right? My law is the United States because I'm a U.S. citizen. I think in my political religion that the state is also – I'm also a citizen of the state, but the state is an internal organism of the nation state. It's a conquered – so I'm a conquered person, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, again, states are not recognized internationally. There is no California. There is no England. There is nothing. There's only nation states. We don't consider international law, but see, the problem is that's what a constitution is. Who was the constitution written for? Who was it designed to be an appeal to? Who were they saying, we are now a nation state? Well, obviously the international body, which became first the League of Nations, people saw through that, and then it became the United Nations, right? Same thing, different name, which is common. The more ignorant you make people, the more you can get past them. So, yeah, I mean, this is, we can go on and on and on and cover every logical fallacy that we have, and it's all untrue. We live in a giant simulation, a hypocrisy. We have no idea what we are in. And it's pretty amazing to me, because I only found this out after so many years of researching. I found that there were certain people who had discovered the Law of Nations and international law, and once they went there, they quit. They were like, I'm no longer part of this movement. Why? Because, I mean, it's dangerous to talk about. It's dangerous to talk about the truth, right? You're either someone that's going to sell us a product based on the lie, or you're going to tell the truth. But the truth, you see, you can't sell it. It's self-evident. It's self-existent. You can't sell the truth. You can only sell fiction. You can only sell patriotism. You can only sell a flag, right? But you can't sell to people who believe they're, what's the quote? right? None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Wolfgang von Goethe, right? It is such a true statement. And if you read that full book, I mean, it's, yeah, and ones like it, it's incredible. The Politics of Obedience and all these different books that are like, oh my God, wow. How was I fooled? But these people like the Informer, Montgomery, all these people, they, once they discovered this, they realized, hey, there is no movement. It's a movement that doesn't move. The best thing we can do is essentially learn our fate. And I got to be honest with you. I am much more happy and content knowing the truth than I was when I was a mad guerrilla journalist trying to expose the truth and Alex Jones and all this craziness, which I still think is a psyop. Right? To support the patriot mythology, basically. And then I found out that the truth movement, patriot movement, is really just the tax protest movement. From the 60s and the 70s. And it's reinvented itself every year. And since I got into trusts and private associations, I started figuring out all these guys selling trusts and foreign trusts and private trusts, they're all full of crap. And all these tax protest guys are saying, I won my case and you can too. Just buy my $2,000 paperwork and follow my instructions. And they'll say this is for entertainment only or education only, et cetera, et cetera. All these claims, because what they're selling is a lie. Mm. And some of them are sincere. Some of them believe the lie. I believe the lie. Some of them are not. Some of them know damn well. And it's actually, it's funny because, have you ever seen a commercial on TV that it's for like title lock or something like that, where they monitor your title so it doesn't get stolen? I don't know if you have those.
Yes, I've come across things like this, kind of obscure things that you wouldn't know about it, but you'd hear it.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty asinine to tell people that it's a one-page document and you can steal people's title. Right? That's what they're basically advertising. So on that commercial, it's the first time I've ever heard anybody actually admit this. They have a county clerk or a court clerk basically on there. And he says very clearly that when people file documents in our office, specific offices this applies to, we have to file that document. We cannot, even if we recognize it's a fraud or a crime, we are required to file that document. So what these gurus, as I call them, say is that don't follow government instructions. No. Do what I say. File it with this office. And so they send it to this clerk who has to file it, even though he knows it's fraud and he can't report it as fraud. Nobody can. They have to file it. And so you believe that you have filed something. You don't get a response. And therefore they tell you, it's now law, or it's now a legitimate document. You've made a contract. Because they didn't respond, they're liable or culpable, or you've succeeded, right? And they'll go for a couple years, 5 years, 10 years even, before there's a giant tax lien.
You can make your own, time limits. And I know exactly this sort of
thing. Yeah, make a list and give it to the police officer who pulls you over and say, I'm going to sue you for $1 million a minute.
A fee schedule. Yes, you got to get the fee schedule.
But I tell you again, once you understand that you are a prisoner, not a free people, right? You are a prisoner of war, the Civil War specifically, is when it really became, because you got to consider the Confederation, right? That means conspiracy. So the Confederated States in the first place were a conspiracy against the king. Well, the Confederacy was a conspiracy against the United States. They wanted to create their own nation state. They had all the trappings to do it, but they weren't recognized by the United Nations or by the international body at the time. And so the United States conquered the states, forced them
to
every state to issue their constitution.
So, Clint, a question about this, if I could spring it on you, because I wonder about it from time to time, if it's a good example of this idea of the legal law being different than the old common law and things. But it looks like the situation of the Taliban in Afghanistan is a good contrast. So you have an organization here which traditionally holds all the trappings of nationhood, and under the old law of nations would have, you know, been a sovereign nation state. It controls its borders, it holds courts, and can maintain those borders.
I would say Palestine is a better example.
Go on. Okay, please.
Because Palestine used to be Palestine, right? That people was absolutely displaced, taken over, not by Israel, but by England. England was the one that captured it. It was no victory for whatever. No, England went over there because guess what? The Kingdom of Jerusalem, in the 1200s, was a part of the English crown, right? It was the Kingdom of Jerusalem, and there was a queen called Elizabeth that was the queen of, or the leader, whatever it was, the queen of Israel, basically. And she lost that to, I believe, the Ottoman Empire. That has been a sore spot. So when England went in there and conquered it for themselves and then named it as Israel and used Jews as an excuse, right? The whole story is not what we think. But if you look, pull up the Kingdom of Jerusalem and you'll read all about it. It's pretty amazing. And really, I mean, if you want to get into what's happening now currently, they are, I mean, it was, what's his name? He just died recently, but...
Kissinger?
Yes, thank you. Kissinger.
My former neighbor. He just lived down the road up in Kent there. Go on.
Oh, really? Wow, that must have been pleasant. Did you have barbecues?
Right, go Bush,
did you invite him to speak at your school? Well, he said that Israel was not going to exist in 10 years, and that was not that long ago. But there's also this huge movement. There has been a huge movement to relocate Israel to, guess where?
Ukraine.
Right! Ukraine used to be Khazaria.
I tell that to people and they look at me like I have 10 heads.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But I mean, again, there's a video that I have that you can show people where they did all the, I did all the research and then I saw this video. I was like, well, someone already covered it. I can just use this video, right? But no, there's a whole movement in Russia actually to create they already call Ukraine their celestial Israel. They already call it that, heavenly Israel.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's already in the works.
And that's not any more bonkers than a bunch of Europeans going to the Middle East and creating what we call Israel today. That's not any more bonkers.
Or perhaps going to what they called America and conquering the native people there, right? Why is that crazy?
What was Massachusetts called? You know the first name of Massachusetts?
It was the colony, wasn't it? It was a...
The Hebrew Republic of Massachusetts under the Puritans. The Hebrew Republic of Massachusetts.
That would make sense because these people are the Puritans. That's a whole different thing. Yeah, they were not a good people. So
there's one thing about the Taliban, Clint. Would it be fair to say, as I have kind of concluded, that the Taliban is the one body of people en masse by the millions? And I don't mean that every Afghan is a member of the Taliban, but these people, the Afghans, have been able to throw off the legal system, and that it is the, is it fair to say that the Afghanistan right now is the one freest in terms of this legal matrix that Afghanistan has managed to free itself from the legal system, the bar system?
I would caveat that to say as long as they're permitted to and that they're useful to the international powers. Yeah, sure. I mean, they could be conquered like that. Let's one bomb and they're done. Let's not forget the power structure and how it is. So if they're allowed to do it, yeah. I mean, sure. I think the Taliban is either part of government, part of the PSYOP. I mean, in other words, it's not really the people, just like nothing else is. Or, you know, it's maybe it is real. I don't know. The point is, whenever anybody says, I'm sovereign or I am this, I'm like, you and what army? You know, what? Where's your territory? Where's your government? You can't be a sovereign. You can't be a god or a king. God just means king. You can't be that unless you have subjects. Who's your subjects? No, it is not your inherent right. You're not inherently sovereign. That is all crap. Now, God is a sovereign, right? Jehovah is your sovereign, and that's where your law comes from, your law of nature. But as soon as you declare self-sovereignty, that is code for communism. That is code for I can sell my labor as a commodity, that I can become a slave, that I give up all my inherent rights, which are, legal law is called positive law, which is the opposite or anti-natural law. The law of nature, the law of God, is only, and it is nothing else, it is the right to say no. It is the right to say, no, I'm not a person. It is the right to say, no, I don't want to participate in the legal or anti-God law, the anti-nature law, the fiction, no, I will not do this. And the Bible says over and over in like 50 different places, do not respect persons. What is a person? A corporation. So all these things. Private associations run the world. They're persons, right? You could form one yourself. Housing associations, for instance, they have so much power, they can take your house at any time. There's no question about it. It's an incredible authority that we've given these people. And you trace these housing associations, apparently, is what Walter Buren told me, and they all go back to the House of Commons. Like, mm-hmm. Wow. it's a hidden tax, international tax. But you gotta think, okay, so individual is what we are called, right? But when I marry, what happens? It's not that I'm marrying anybody. It's that my person, my legal status, is being incorporated with another. That's why I have to have a license, because that would be illegal. I can't just put persons, together, two statuses, and become one, and then get all these taxes. No, I have to have a license to do that, because otherwise it's illegal. Anything you need a license for, what does license mean? It means anarchy. It means lawlessness. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, it's a permission to have a right or a privilege granted by your God, your false God. Now, what is the first commandment? First commandment says, take no other gods before me, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody's ever said, well, I'm going to look up the word God, because they think it means Zeus, right? But God is a generic term. It's why they replaced the word Jehovah in the Bible, so you can never know if it's talking about God or it's talking about a man who has a flattering title, right? But God, it's defined as governors, presidents, kings, magistrates, judges, the woman at DMV who has power over you and causes you to do something that is against the natural law. Anything that any man in power over you that prevents you from following the law of nature, law of God, is a false god. And our problem is that we don't know these things. Even religion has been so corrupted that nobody knows what the Bible even says, let alone that the word Jehovah was removed by the church, the Catholic Church specifically. And you ask a Catholic what the name of God is that we're supposed to worship in the Bible, they say God doesn't have a name, or it's tolerance. Well, trust me when I say Jesus was not a tolerant man. Neither is God. So, I mean, the whole thing is just completely out of proportion. We've lost all touch with reality. We live in a simulation. Simulation just means a hypocrisy. We say we're patriotic towards something that really never existed truly. We worship these so-called founding fathers, and yet we don't act like them. We worship Christ. Some people say Christ is God, which is a huge mistake. And we don't act like – we don't actually follow the law, which is really what Christ is. So the whole thing is absolutely, completely lost and out of control. Everything is a lie. Everything is an inversion, would be more accurate. Because everything has been turned legal, and legal – is the inversion of nature. It is the end of the law of God or law of nature. And it's an amazing thing to see it. Now, please keep in mind here, I'm sure you'll have people like, this guy's full of crap. Anybody who has a question, any of your students or you that wants a source for anything I'm saying, I'm glad to send it to you. You want the original 13th Amendment? I'll gladly send it to you. You want any of this? You want, I mean, you can read my book. It's free. It has all these legal terms. It has all the terms in the Bible that people mistake, including the word God. It's right in the concordances. I didn't make stuff up. I'm a researcher. I'm a primary researcher. Nothing I say isn't because it's what I've discovered by going to primary sources. I don't listen to Patriot Radio. I don't listen or read books or watch documentaries. I go to patents. I go to U.S. code. I go to international law. I never spend time on YouTube watching, unless it's purely for entertainment. I never go to YouTube to discover the truth. That would be foolish, right?
There are people now, Clint, that they use the term researcher, and what they mean is they watch YouTube a couple hours every day.
Hey, guess what? That's where I used to be. That's what I used to be, and I corrected myself. And that's really, again, it's why the truth movement has disowned me. I don't do interviews. I haven't done an interview like this in I don't know how long, because this, you can't sell this. This destroys, the truth destroys the fiction. And these people are in the business of fiction. When I did a radio show, for instance, you know, I got into this altruistically. I wasn't selling anything. I don't have wares or products. I don't have,
you know, water filters and gold. No,
I know. No. I wouldn't allow anybody to even post or put an advertisement on my website. I wanted to keep it pure, and I wanted to make sure it was free for everybody. You know, little did I know, people think free things aren't real, or that there's some catch behind it, you know? So, I mean, it was if I were to sell this stuff, I'd probably get more people. That's the amazing part. But, you know, here's a quote. Jonathan Swift: "The later part of a wise man's life is taken up in curing the follies, prejudices, and false opinions he had contracted in the former." That's exactly where I am. I am correcting all the things that I once believed. Very important word, belief, because that's where we are. We're in a state of absolute ridiculous beliefs that can be easily disproven by going to source documents instead of YouTube.
And I've seen that too. You know, back when you had the Corporation Nation, and then you had Redfill Sunday School, and you have adjusted your take on things and your solution to things from, kind of the mainstream alt stuff, you know, with the paperwork, to getting into the declaratory judgment with that dude that you had on for a couple of years, and then moving into monasteries and that.
He's a good example. No one else was able to do what he claims he did. And the other thing about that guy is that if he was successful, and I don't know if he was because I've never seen the proof, right? I went on things that couldn't be proven, like so many people. If he was successful, all he really did was sell himself to the state and get money. He didn't get land. He didn't become free. He became dependent on the state for his income, because he says he sued the state and they paid him for their trespass on his part, whatever, all that weird language that he used that now I know is frivolous. You know, no one else could do that. No one else could copy what he did. So I don't even believe he did it. I think, like every tax protester out there who says, "I won my case," you go and look at the case, and they're saying this is all frivolous. You lose. In fact, you have to some of them even say cease and desist, because you're harming people, right? But, oh, no, but I won my case, or I got it dismissed, right? Well, what really happened is you got a cease and desist order from the damn court that says you can't do this anymore. Some people even claim they won back their children, and they didn't. I mean, it's everybody's lying, and they're selling the lie, and people are buying the paperwork. And so I started debunking it, because I thought people would appreciate it. I thought people would want to know the truth and how things actually work. And instead, I'm a pariah. I'm the bad guy. And I find that the most disturbing part about my whole journey is that now nobody wants to interview me. I used to get 5-6 interviews a week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I had to reschedule because I'd booked two at once. But I was talking about things that people could sell. I was talking about the Patriot mythology. Nobody wants to hear the truth. And I'm proud of you, because I warned you when you asked me. I said, look, I'm not who I used to be. I grew up. Right. So, like I said, I commend you for putting this out there. And like I said, anybody who wants the source, I'm glad to give you the source. Don't just poo-poo it because you have a political religion. Right.
Well, I know that feeling too in my own vocation here as a teacher and in the alternative world too. After a while, you look at the mainstream, the public schools and even the private schools, it's the same model. And then you kind of go into the unschooling, homeschooling world, and then you see the mistakes that they're making and the assumptions that they're making. And then you become persona non grata for everyone. So I know that feeling.
Well, I mean, my recommendation for anyone who wants to do a homeschool would be to start a private membership association and do it that way. Something you should really look into are trusts and private membership association. But don't go to YouTube. Don't go to go to the source. Read what a trust is. I'm sorry, but yes, you need to go to an attorney because that's what they specialize in. Attorneys aren't all evil. They're just of something that is artificial. They know what to do. They know what kind of trust you need. My friend Brandon does it as well, but it's a matter of not trying to learn something real by people who sell you fiction. I mean, I that seems obvious, but I fell for it too. So I'm not angry or I'm not calling out anybody, because if I'm calling out anyone, I'm calling out myself. The thing is, like that quote, I'm correcting my past follies, and I feel I've always felt a responsibility, even when I wasn't sure of what I was saying. I was sure of it because why would I think someone's lying to me? Why do people lie? I don't know. I don't lie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not my thing. And I mean, everybody lies. I guess we should be honest. Little white lies, maybe to protect someone's feelings. But the thought of guiding people into something that's going to potentially harm them is so far beyond me. And yet, that's what these people are doing. You need to, your audience especially needs to be very wary of the entire, what do you call it, construct that is this, like I said, alternative movement, the movement that never really moves.
I mean, I remember that line.
Well, for 60 years now. I mean, it's just, like I said, the tax protest movement is basically behind it. And there's all kinds of, you know, there's hundreds of books on tax protest, and yet none of them have been successful. Why? Well, I mean, if I'm in a German concentration camp and I have a tattoo, and then I deny the tattoo and that I'm a prisoner, am I still a prisoner? Am I going to anything that I get, am I going to owe taxes on as a prisoner of the United States? I'm sorry, citizen of the United States? Yes. You're not going to get out of it. The only way that people get out of things is some huge egregious mistake was made, right? That's okay. Maybe that might, but it's, what's being sold is that you can go and buy a car, you get all this debt, and then just dismiss it. You don't have to pay it, right? Or, you know, you can get a trust and you can there be free and private. And nobody knows what private means, right? It is not a term that is outside of anything. It's just a different jurisdiction, right? If I want to be private in my state, I do intra-state commerce. I don't do commerce with another state or a person in another state or company. I stick in my state. Well, that is part of the privilege of privacy in the state. So United States only does interstate and international commerce. If you're intrastate, then you're private or foreign in your transaction from the United States. But you still have the rights, but you're doing it in the state, not interstate, right? Or in another country. But again, people think private means free. No, you're not free people. But like I said, I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm trying to bring you up to a level where you know what your situation is and act accordingly. Because it's not like everybody's going to wake up and we're going to have a revolution, right? In fact, we're already at the lowest possible level. If you believe most people in history who talk about democracy and how bad it is, for instance, Plato and his five regimes, right? We've already gone through the spiritual awakening. We've gone through the democracy. We've gone, and now we're down to the lowest part before tyranny. That's democracy, right? Democracy, there is no quotes I can find on democracy by any legitimate people that aren't trying to sell it, right? The question you got to ask is why are we always, was our political parties and governments always trying to sell you freedom and democracy? Freedom and democracy. We want freedom. Freedom means franchise, and democracy is akin and next to tyranny. It's the next, it's the level before everything falls apart and tyranny takes over. And this cycle, these five regimes, is the cycle of every country, all empires, Rome. They've all fallen once they become a democracy. And you don't just look at that and say, oh, well, we're different. It's modern. No, we're in the cycle, right? We are allowing our nation, our people, our spiritual bond and connection, and even our true religion to be destroyed systematically before our eyes, and we're participating in it, right? Mm-hmm. There is no recovery from this except to, I mean, some people might actually collect gold and silver, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, in the Bible,
while it's slow.
In the Bible, the story of those who did so in order to, they think the gold and silver is their savior. No, that's not your savior. It's not your redeemer. There's only one redeemer, right? And that's the law or Christ, the personification of the law, right? The law made flesh, logos made flesh. They built a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they saw that their kingdom was about to fall, and they wanted nothing more, nothing less, to transfer their citizenship, their subjection, from one system to the next. And so they had gold, and that golden calf was then offered as a sacrifice to their new false gods, their new magistrates, in order to buy their way into a low status in the new system. But gold is not for wealth. It is a hedge so that the new money or the new system will give you some of it, and they take the gold, the actual intrinsic value, whereas you're left with a piece of paper that has no intrinsic value, and you believe you've done something good or spiritual, when in fact you've just bought your way, you've hedged the old system and bought your way into the new system. That's what gold is. That's why That's why people that are in the know have gold. But they have many, many, many hundreds of troy ounces. They're not just, I have an 1886,
silver dollar.
Right. Congratulations. See, the problem that you might not know, and it's in the Federal Reserve CAFR, the comprehensive annual, the audit, and the Federal Reserve audit, and yes, there's an audit. That's another lie, sponsored by Ron Paul. The audit of the Federal Reserve and the audit of the federal government says very clearly, and it's law, that gold has a statutory price. And that price is $22.29.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to think about this for a moment. If I'm going to start a whole country, a whole big thing, I'm not going to base that on a market value, something that fluctuates, right? That would be foolish. No country in the world does not have a statutory price for their gold. And that gold that's in Fort Knox and all these different vaults, and yes, it's there. It's not. It wasn't stolen. It has a value in troy ounces of $22.29. But what the Federal Reserve does and why they put gold up so high is the Federal Reserve holds the certificates of that gold.
Mm.
And those certificates are equal to the gold, and they trade those certificates at market value. So they're taking something that is it's not illegal for them, but it would be illegal for us. They're taking a financial instrument, basically something that's worth money, and they're using it at the market value instead of the statutory price, and they're making all kinds of obviously money. If I've got something that's worth $22.29, and yet I can get $1,500 for it, well, imagine how much power I have with that gold, right? So it's in their best interest, of course, to keep the market price up. Then the question arises, well, who sets the price of gold?
Mm.
Well, it's in the city of London, as you mentioned. There is a Rothschild Bank, of which both the English Parliament and the United States has a chair, and it's called the Gold Fixing. Pull that up. It's called the Gold Fixing. Wikipedia can tell you about it. And it tells you that they set the price of gold. It's not us. It's not, it's the city of London. And we think, oh, gold, it has this value. The truth about gold is that it's not supposed to be very much more than silver. So either silver is going to go up or gold's going to go down. I imagine that gold's going to go down when they're ready to, either that or they'll hike the price of silver, because they decide. It's not us. It's not random. Nothing's random. The stock market's not random, right? They own all the stock, not us. So,
and then they got their plunge protection teams and all this jazz.
Sure, and then they get the voting rights. So government is the main owner of all stock and all corporations worldwide, and governments pool their votes. And so they elect the board of directors. Then board of directors elects the CEO. They decide how much the board of directors are going to get paid. So you're like, oh, these corporations are horrible. Corporations own the government. No, it's actually quite the opposite. You only own something with stock, and government doesn't have stock. So now I take that back. The Federal Reserve, the one thing, another logical fallacy, Federal Reserve does have stock, but it's very clear if you actually read the Federal Reserve Act, which people don't, the Patriot mythology is that the Federal Reserve has stock and therefore it's owned by banks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you read it's non-ownership stock, and it's required to be a member of the Federal Reserve, which means you can print funny money. So it's not like these stock things are – it's a requirement. It's not even an option, and it means those banks are completely under the control of the federal law, the banking law. So it's not – banks don't own the Federal Reserve. It's non-ownership stock. You can't own a government. That's the interesting part about government. And yet what did Rockefeller say? The revelation of the method is – own nothing, control everything, right? And that's where we are. They control everything, but ownership is a fiction. It's a legal title, right? It's a word. It's not true. You don't own nature. You don't own what is a creation of God, as they say.
Now, Clint, as we come to a close here, we'll end on a lighter note and look at some of these celebrities. Is that the second?
Well, so the question then becomes, same list, George Bush and John Kerry. Question becomes, why did all these people become famous?
Well, the psycho guy, Anthony Perkins.
obviously they're – so notice here that it's listing them as cousins.
Ah, interesting difference. Thank you.
Right. Eighth cousin, three times removed. Sixth cousin, six times removed. The point I was trying to make with the previous chart, Bush has more street cred. Now, Bush, you got to keep in mind, Bush has double royalty because Bush is a Bush, first of all, right? George Bush was first, his father was president. He was the royal guy. But George Bush Sr. married Pierce. Pierce was a former president. So Bush now has the lineage of a Pierce and a Bush. So you have double royalty. Of course he's going to be elected president. elected, not voted, but elected president, right? Now, these people, if you looked at a similar chart of their direct descendancy, you'd probably find a similar thing.
Brigham Young. Now,
yeah, of course. But you got to consider Clint Eastwood, very, very political, right? They're not going to give someone like Clint Eastwood that much power of persuasion unless he's one of the family, right?
But a distant one. So if he was a grandson, he might be a governor somewhere. But because he's a cousin, he's kind of off doing the Hollywood stuff.
Well, yeah, like consider that. So I think it might have been David Crosby, but he's the eighth cousin of Bush. Bush is eighth cousins of Kerry, but they're all direct descendants. So you got to think, okay, these people, if you really looked at their family, they'd be a direct descendant at least of one of those people, you know? So now consider the difference between royalty and celebrity. Is there a difference? Because in the royal family, you got all these extremely wealthy people who do absolutely nothing but be celebrities as royals. Here, you can't call yourself a royal, and so we have celebrity who are royalty but are only celebrities. But what do they receive? That's the question. See, here's the trick. What do artists, actors, what do they receive as payment? What is their inheritance? Royalties. What is a royalty? I mean, it's in the word, right? They get royalties. They're celebrities, but in fact, they're receiving royalties. They're royalties with celebrity status receiving what? They're receiving royalties from the royal family. These people aren't famous because they're talented. Trust me when I say the talented actors in Hollywood who I used to work with are all voice actors. they're not famous. In fact, they would always complain that, I was going to get a part in a movie or a show, but one of these people showed an interest and there I didn't get it. Right? That's the story of voice actors. They're not royalty. All right? So they're not celebrity. I can't stress this enough. I can't stress enough. This is how things work. It is not what we believe. It is not about talent. I mean, I'm not saying these people aren't talented in some way, but they don't do anything tangible, just like royalty doesn't do anything tangible. They're just, this is the way that you become wealthy. Now, we're talking about CEOs. We're talking about anybody with any power, authority, or credibility. We believe that these people have some magical credibility and we listen to them because they're stars, right? I mean, you're going to find all the singers. You're going to find Beyonce. But she's not white. Yeah, she is. You're going to find Obama. You're going to find Halle Berry, who's supposedly the first black actress to receive. No, she's white. She has white features. And the law says that white blood, pure blood, does not depend at all on skin color. It's that in the law. It says that because it's not real.
We have Napoleon here. I wonder, Clint, not that you may know much about the man, but it's interesting. What I know of him is he was kind of an upstart. He came in from the outside and tried to rule as one of the people.
And you mean kind of like Palestine and Taliban?
Yeah, exactly. And how did he end up? He ended up on a rock in the middle of the Atlantic because he tried to be someone he
wasn't. Well, I would not probably ever give anybody any credit for being an enemy as much as a controlled opposition, if that makes sense.
Okay, like a gangster in a town that never, kind of.
Yeah, which is like World War One. Like I said, it's a family war of all the between the European families, right? It doesn't make sense that they're actually at war, but it does make sense that they're depopulating and having a great commercial success because everybody knows that when war happens, everybody seems to flourish, right?
War is the health of the state.
Yes. So this is the reality of things right here in front of your eyes. These are your controllers. They are your influencers they are. And you know, the states, I read a report not too long ago, honestly, and I wish I would have kept it because it was all the intelligence agencies. And they all came out with this report that said their greatest fear right now is that people are going to start forming their own associations. Because the right of private association is one of those rights they respect. Why? Well, because if they didn't, then their associations wouldn't be respected either. Now, keep in mind, private association, let's take some examples in history of private associations. I mean, right now we have the National Governors Association, National Mayors Association. Guess what? All the governors get together in Washington, D.C. at the Hall of States or whatever, right? They have a private association they're members of. They're not acting as statesmen. They're acting as federal employees at that point, just like Congress are employees. They're not people. They're not statesmen because a state would be a people, a nation, right? So you got the National Governors Association getting together, and guess what they created?
Another association?
No, they created Common Core.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
They got together. Well, they didn't create it, but someone wrote it and they copyrighted it in the National Governors Association. And then they went back to their states to influence the states, the legislations of the states to pass Common Core, right? This is how it all works with international interference and Agenda 21 and all that stuff, Agenda 2030 now, right? Whose main goal is to make everybody in the world a citizen, conquer all people. So a digital one. So by going back to your state and trying to pass a local law, right, an internal law, you don't have to pass it federally then, right? That's how international interests work. They go to the state and pass it there. That's why we have all these uniform laws, uniform commercial code, and all these things that allow us to do what we talked about earlier, which is to sign an end user agreement and therefore give up all our rights as citizens, essentially. So rights are not natural. Natural rights, again, are negative rights, meaning I have the right not to do something, but we don't, you know, regular. But let's talk about other associations in the past, which still exist. Let's talk about private clubs, which I have. That's my website right there, privateunderground.club, right? It's a private association, technically. I got COVID and really kind of almost haven't really touched it or didn't finish building it, but I intend to now. How about private clubs that only allow white people? No Jews, no blacks, no Chinese, no anything but what they consider as white people. Those still exist. There's clubs that only allow black people. There's clubs that only allow Indian people. There's reservations that only allow Indian people. These are private associations that, because they're not in the public, they don't follow public law. There's public law and there's private law. How about a hookah lounge, right? You can't smoke in public, but it's a private association. You have to join as a member, and therefore you can smoke in public. How about in private, I should say, a private club? How about prohibition? When clubs formed and sold alcohol, even though it was prohibited, how did that happen? They were private, right? Run by the mob, who's also a private association. The only way they get the mob, in fact, the only way they get anybody, including Biden and his son, is to charge him with tax. Trump, they charge him with taxes because taxes are always public, and you try to avoid taxes in the private. That's why you go private, in fact, so you're not in that jurisdiction. But these guys always try to avoid federal taxes when they shouldn't, because they're doing commerce, right? And commerce is controlled by a taxable entity. So that's how they get people, is tax evasion. It's always the same. How did they bring down the mob? Tax evasion, right? Not killing people.
Even with the legal stuff, that's almost always where people get into trouble. I'm just a few miles away from the dungeon in Danbury, and they have all sorts of famous tax so-called offenders in there. And it's always, not always, but it's often people who try to do like Wesley Snipes or something. They try to make as much loot as they can in the Babylon system, and they try to live like a monk and pretend they're out of the system.
Right. And the one problem is they're not using trusts and, say, you know, Biden's used foreign companies. I have a company. I won't say any more about it, except that it's a, it's not a U.S. company. It's in a state, and it's a non-incorporated, unincorporated entity. So it is not a necessarily a taxable entity. Now, if I do interstate commerce or international commerce, yeah, I'll have to pay taxes. Anything I sell. But as long as I keep it in, as long as you, if you join my private association, you're agreeing to a contract, basically a compact that says you are in this. It's private, right? It's really the only solution we as a common people actually have. Like I said, if you're a homeschool, you should really be a private association. If you want to, I mean, my ideas are much more grandiose, which is to open something like a Costco where you don't have any overhead. You buy food directly instead of through all these middlemen, and you don't pay your employees $20 an hour because you have volunteers. Imagine how cheap you could get food if you had a Amway type of situation without the Amway and without the Costco and without the employees and without the overhead. And you all agreed that you'd buy eggs and you'd buy milk, raw milk, and you'd buy a certain amount of meat, and so, and you get that at the cost that the farmer is ready to give it to you, and everybody pays a very small, no retail, no grocery. Like, people don't even know the word grocer, right? A grocer, that means gross behavior. It used to be a misdemeanor crime, but a grocer is someone who hoards things and then sells it at extraordinary prices. But we have our friendly neighborhood grocers, right?
And my child is smart.
Right? But we could do it ourselves. We don't need a grocer. We can do the opposite. We can form a private association. We can get our food products for cheap. If we wanted to, we could even say that every dollar is now, or every penny is now a dollar, and we trade in pennies amongst us, just like people trade in alternative currencies. If we wanted to, we could earn a bunch of money, have a little town, a private association of ourselves in a trust, and we could say that pennies have the value of a dollar. We could earn all kinds of money, bring it in, and be millionaires in our own little society. We can do anything we want in private, as long as we're not going against our owners, right? Mm. It's an amazing thing what you can do in the private, but you have to know what it means. You have to associate, which is listed as one of the rights granted, and they'll never get rid of it. They'll never get rid of cash either, because what does every dollar say? It says this is legal tender, both public and private. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. It means that you can use it privately outside of the federal jurisdiction, intrastate, not interstate. There's all kinds of things that they don't teach us, because if they did, as that report said, they're afraid that people are going to start associating privately and start making their own rules, because you make your own rules in a – now, it doesn't mean you can – they say if you're a father, you know, you make the rules of your household, your private household. Just because you have a private household does not make you any less under the main domicile where your law comes from, right? So you can't break the law in private. Mm-hmm. But you can do things that aren't taxable. You can do things that really upset the balance of their power, but only within your private association. And really what that requires is you saying no to all the so-called benefits and protections of government. With protection comes subjection. That's a maxim of law. So you get a bunch of people that you trust, not only in the sense that you trust them spiritually, but you also form a trust, right? A legal trust, which means that your estate now is combined with many people, And so collectors, creditors can't sue what's in trust because it's owned by multiple people. I can't punish you for my debts. That's the purpose. That's the reason these people use a trust. It's why Biden's, why they can't put Biden in jail, why they can't do anything against these people, the people we know are royalty, because they use private and foreign trusts. They use private persons, their own persons. They create their own persons to do the business. The guys from Enron are a great example. They just abandoned the persons they were operating in and didn't get in trouble for what they did. They're taking liability and they're putting in the company or the person. Right? And that's the difference between a man and a person. A man, under God, is responsible for his actions and must make remedy. A person can be a limited liability corporation, and you can harm as many people as you want, and the corporation's responsible, not you. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. We need to become men again, honestly.
Clint, now where do you see your research taking you, and what projects are you presently chipping away at, given your health and so forth?
I have a very long presentation that is going to become season 3, and it's on it's kind of what we've talked about today, the nation state and its history and the full delving into that. It'll probably be 10 or 20 shows. I don't know. I'm finishing up Red Pill Sunday School right now by giving a full lesson in trusts and debunking all the stuff, we're talking about. And that'll be the last show of season 2. Several books that I started and haven't finished. And I'll be opening up a storefront, I guess, on this site for people that don't want to join. I'm going to put all my work that I have, everything I've ever done that I could find anyway, is on this site, and all my movies. And they're all, I'm charging $5 a month, and that's to be a member as a private membership association. The reason you have to charge, there has to be a consideration in a contract. So you can't have a free membership. It would be, there's no exchange of anything. So you have to, so $5 a month, and I'm putting that money into a fund that will hopefully, after many years, be able to buy some land or something that will benefit the whole group. Right? I'm not making a profit from it. Like I said, I'll put my books up there and stuff. That actually supports me as a donation. So, like I said, all my work, all my documentaries, 1,000 radio shows that I've done. It's just full of – there's no way you go through it all, I don't think. But it's up there. And that's because they just took down my radio archives. They took down 3 other sites of mine. YouTube keeps erasing my videos one at a time, using the excuse that it has something about vaccines or Jews or whatever. And you look, and it doesn't have that. And you're like, well, I can complain, but if I complain more than 1 or 2 times, they take down everything. So I say, yes, thank you, Google, for taking my video down. Thank you. I'm not going to complain. And then I have everything on Odyssey, the Red Pill Sunday School, that they don't take down, which is nice. So it's free there.
Do you still have strawmanstory.info?
I do. I don't know how long I'm going to keep that. Probably until I, get this site going. That's where you can download the book. But you can download the book free on the site as well. There's also a voice recording of about the first 170 pages. The girl volunteered to do it, but then she got a bun in the oven and they were moving. And so she just didn't have the time to do it. It's disappointing because she was doing such a fantastic job, and it's really nice to listen to it. And, you can not spend time, all your time looking at a screen or whatever.
Well, it's a formidable book. I've gone through it myself, and it took some investment of time. It was worth it, yeah. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, well, it's got over 2,000 words defined. It's a dictionary, and it's got over a couple hundred biblical terms defined. So, again, not my definitions, but the ones that you would want to know while reading those, reading the law or reading the the Bible. You'd want to know what these things mean, because if you read it blindly, as most of us do, it's not going to do much good. I know people who've, I've read the Bible 5 times. I know what it says. No, you don't, because you've never looked to see what the words meant in the original Hebrew or the original whatever, you know, Latin, anything. You've never read the Bible unless you've looked up every single word, and you'd be really shocked to learn what they actually mean. That they're all, and they're all metaphors. They're all allegories. They're all, you know, you can't take it literally or you miss the message. That's pretty amazing, really. So, and it says as much. And then you, you know, you along the way, you discover the Bible is the foundation of common law. We inherited it from, everybody knows the Queen is the head of the church, right? Well, we inherited the law of England, and the Bible is its foundation. Everything they create legally is against the Bible. And there's a reason for that, because that's where you're, that's where they consider your natural rights come from. If you accept positive law and give up your negative rights to not accept positive law, well, then they've got you, and that's where we all are.
I often say that the legal system is almost the principles of the Bible in negative, like a photo negative.
Yeah, I use the word in. It's like a mirror image. It looks the same, but it's not the same. It's never the same because it's not real. It's fiction. You think you own your house or your car, but all you really own is a piece of paper. They own the car and they give you title. They own your child and they give you title.
And you tell that to people, they don't own their house. They don't actually own their child.
You're listed as a tenant. I mean, it says right in the contract, you're a tenant, not an owner.
Or people hoot and holler. I will let you go here, Clint. You've been going with your time. But people hoot and holler over, the public schools, and look at the agendas of public schools. And as you point out, public schools make public people.
Yeah, it's public policy. Yeah, absolutely. It's necessary. The final thing I'll say is just that there is no country, no nation state in the world that does not use the false narrative of history, founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence, which has no power whatsoever. If it did, then it says unalienable rights in it. Unalienable was never used again. They used inalienable, which means the courts have decided that means you can sell your rights, which is what we do when we take but if we had unalienable rights, like the Declaration of Independence, which has no authority whatsoever, well then we couldn't be in person. We couldn't sell our natural negative rights, our inherent rights. They wouldn't be able to control us at all. So we have inalienable rights in the legal system. And that means we sell ourselves. We whore ourselves out. We're prostitutes, right? But no country, no nation state in the world does not use the rich cultural history of its people to justify its existence. And this is written quite often in some of the documents I've read about nation states, is that they justify their existence by piggybacking on what the people think is the history of the nation state. And they don't even know what a nation state is. Like, don't know that the United States is a foreign body. It's not part of it's not part of America, as it were. It's not part of the 50 states. It's a completely foreign entity that we have signed up for. We've abandoned our children to it, right? We don't know this. And so by using that false narrative of history to justify its existence, we believe that it is America, and it's not. It's a completely conquered, purchased area that is not a state. It's not part of, and that's why they created it. That's why they ceded the land, so that they could be an international foreign body from us. And if they can get us all in their jurisdiction, then they control us all. And that's what they do with, that's what a person is. It's a status within, a person. I mean, your driver's license, everything that's attached to you legally, your name, your social security number, your driver's license, that is the person. That is the status. And all these things are what keep you in, especially social security, which is essentially a pension. And the law says that, you know, if you have a future benefit, well, that is a contractual relationship. So we get Social Security barely enough to live on, and that keeps us in the system. It's an inducement to contract, essentially.
Oh, wait till the UBI comes rolling down the pike and enforce.
What's coming? I can't even. Like I said, when everybody starts signing these end user agreements for even buying groceries, or every transaction you make has a thing you have to click that you agree with these terms when you sign or when you do anything. I mean, essentially it becomes, there's no more country at all. There's no more people. There's no spiritual connection. There's only legal corporations called nation states, municipal corporations.
Well, we'll get you back on for certain, Clint, to talk about what some of those forthcoming schemes might be and how hunker down against them.
Well, what it boils down to is they don't give a crap whether you sign it or not, because they'll just say, okay, you can't use the service, right? And so it's a choice. Do I want to be able to participate in the satanic system by getting these services, or do I say, no, I'm not going to give up all my natural rights and even my civil rights by signing this agreement? Well, if you want the service, if you want the benefits, if you want the protections, if you want all these things, then you have to give fealty and you have to contractually forfeit any rights that you have and accept the rights that they are your new government. An arbiter is your new decider, your new judge. It's crazy, man. So anyway, sorry. I could talk for days. Sorry.
No, and we should hope to have you on to talk for some more days, too. To the audience, thank you for your attention. Please check out Clint's site there, and I will link that and Strawman's story down below, as well as my previous articles on We the People and what the people mean with the capital P. And we do hope to have Clint on. Clint, hang on here as we knock off. I want to chit-chat for a moment off camera. But the audience, after you're done checking out all of Clint's stuff, head on over to Abacus of Stacey's and enroll. And one and all, thank you for your attention. And Clint, thank you for your expertise.
Thanks, man.